We're live with the Dr. Dean Show. Dr. Dean will be with you in just a moment.
Rachel is our new co-host.
That's right. Rachel, are you our new co-host?
Are we on?
I think we're on. Welcome everybody to Dr. Carolyn Dean Live here Monday evenings on YouTube and X, but really worldwide all the time through our website at drcarolyndean.com. We're so happy you're with us this evening. If this is the first time that you've encountered the wisdom of Dr. Carolyn Dean, you are in for a treat this evening. She is the world's leading authority on magnesium and mineral supplementation and pretty much every other kind of supplementation, having over 55 years in as a MD and also a naturopath in the natural health industry and leading the way, having taught so many people how to think about natural medicine and how to think about supplementation, nutrition, different strategies for health. We're joined here this evening with her. She's going to talk about her favorite hack. She's going to talk about her book. She's going to talk about things that you care about. And she's going to talk about the leading edge of creation, things that medicine is doing that she may or may not think is a good idea. So you want to sit down, enjoy yourself, and be with us for this next hour. Hey, Carolyn, how are you doing?
Doing great. I want to start off by showing everybody. This is the picture I took of my shirt, and then I put it behind me. That's Isn't that awesome? Thank you, iPhone.
Thank you, iPhone. They're very good. Yeah, no, it looks cool.
Yeah, it's very fun. So no mini rant to start out with. I'm going to do a rant on gabapentin. Soon. So, but we're going to go right to our library.
Okay.
The book that we're focusing on is Detox Your Body. Do I have a copy of it? Oh yeah, I do. Detox Your Body. And Rachel is going to put that up. And the blog that goes with today's show that you can find at drcarolyndean.com is Why Your Gut Still Feels Off. And the subtitle is Gut Health Isn't Just Probiotics, the Sugar Yeast Connection You Need to Know. Now, I just ram this down people's throats all the time, that all this talk about the microbiome and the gut and the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, we've ignored the fungal overgrowth. Some people do talk about SIFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth, but then they don't know how to treat it. So the article you can read, I talk about the frustration of people knowing they have gut problems and they're adding fermented foods or taking probiotics, avoiding certain foods, and nothing is helping, when in fact the sugar yeast connection may be the missing piece. So you have symptoms of bloating after meals, or, you know, if I eat late, I'll just get kind of gas, and it interrupts your sleep when this gas is traveling through your intestines. You have low energy, you have constant cravings, and this layering of all these gut health trends and hacks is really not helping. It can actually make things a bit worse because you're overwhelming your system rather than supporting it. So basically, you can read the article. I've been talking about it for 50 years, really. Yeast is a natural part of your gut. There are trillions of microorganisms in the gut, bacteria, fungi, and even parasites, all heating for space and resources. However, when sugar intake is high, the balance shifts. The yeast really live off that sugar. And then Candida can transform from a harmless little budding yeast in the large intestine and invade up into the small intestine, become a thread-like stage. And it starts poking holes in the small intestine, and then yeast toxins are absorbed. I mean, that's it. That's what's going on. And then this is all invisible, but these toxins can go from head to foot. And basically, I want to tell people to pay attention to the possibility of yeast overgrowth. And in customer service, you can ask them for the questionnaire about yeast overgrowth and see if you're affected. And then in the next part of the blog, I go through the detailed steps of starving yeast, replacing good bacteria. And then we crowd out yeast with our antifungal probiotic called Saccharomyces boulardii and our Flora Revive formula. And you take that along with our antifungal Pico Silver. I take those things every day because I no longer starve myself of sugar, gluten, and dairy. I eat some of those foods. I try not to overdo it, but taking those formulas helps keep me in balance. So back to Ginny and see what she has to say. Are we still, Ginny, getting a lot of customers who are asking us about yeast overgrowth?
Well, we get a lot of customers who ask about the gut for sure. And that is such a key part because you're one of the few people who does talk about yeast overgrowth as a principle. So yes, you have a lot of customers who are very interested in that topic still. And if we go back, Rachel, to the original library slide, I do want to point out to everybody that the way that Carolyn's yeast overgrowth protocol is now broken down is in the three books, Exposing Sugar Toxicity, A Clinical Perspective, which will tell you everything you need to know about sugar and how it affects your body, not just your gut, but head to toe impact of using sugar in your diet. Then Detox Your Body is the next stage, which is now that you've decided to eliminate or significantly eliminate sugars, how are you going to do that? And this has a plan for doing that, including how to get rid of ultra processed foods and how to even do your own garden. And then the sugar-free kitchen is actually how to cook without sugar in your diet. And that is an amazing cookbook. It's got phenomenal recipes in it. And we've had so many compliments of people who use the cookbook and just say that the food is so delicious. And it really is. So that's the whole plan that we've laid out. And if you know anybody who's needing to detox their body from sugar, whether they're on a GLP-1, whether, because, you know, if you eat sugar on a GLP-1, it makes you very sick. You've got people who are doing cancer treatments. You've got people who are diabetic. You've got people who just generally want to feel better. That book series would really serve them very well. So we're in the final throes of our 22% off site-wide semi-annual sale. The sugar-free kitchen is on our website. It's not for sale, unfortunately, but the other formulas that support detox are. So you might want to think about making those a gift and getting to them to the people who really need it.
Awesome. Okay, let us move on then. So any comments or questions thus far, Ginny?
We do have a question, and that's from Mary, who wants to know, can she mix the vitamin C reset powder with Remag, Remite, and Pico Silver in the same 16 ounces of water, or does she have to drink that separately?
No, that's why we made the very tasty vitamin C reset berry powder to act as a flavor mask for the strong minerals. So please put it all together. They're happy together. I put all kinds of things in my drink.
Very, very good. And also, Darlene is asking, are antifungals like, it looks like itraconazole?
Itraconazole, yeah.
Okay, for mycotoxins, are they harmful to the gut biome?
I haven't looked lately, but I know they are harmful to people in general. Itraconazole, you know, when you use these strong antifungals, they do have a lot of side effects. So I can't say anything more than that, but you could Google or ask Grok, you know, what are the side effects of these antifungals? I know it might have been itraconazole when I was in Toronto. A drug company asked me to do a study using their antifungal, and I said, no, thank you, because I was known to be treating yeast overgrowth. So one of the reasons that I made our Flora Revive formula was so that people wouldn't have to take these strong antifungal drugs.
Right, because the principle behind Flora Revive is that you use the Saccharomyces boulardes, which is a candida, anti-candida probiotic, and you use it on a daily basis, and that kind of sweeps the floor every day, and you're not having to go in and, super hard cack.
Yeah. I mean, the way drugs work, remember what your doctor says, well, you're not really that sick, so come back when you're sick enough so that we can give you the drug and sort of offset this, you know, the symptoms, if they're mild, the drug side effects would be worse. So they tell you, come back when you're really sick, and then we'll give you the drug. That's what allopathic medicine, that's their philosophy. They do not have any understanding of giving the building blocks that help your immune system not develop these problems. We know very well through our customer service, we have people who say, well, you know, I've been taking Remag for 3 months and all of a sudden I've got this coated tongue, itchy ears, itchy eyes, vaginitis, prostatitis. What's going on? Is my Remag not working anymore? What happens is your immune system gets revved up. It finally woke up because of the magnesium affecting the different detoxification pathways. And we say, great, your body is strong enough now to deal with your yeast overgrowth. Let's add Flora Revive and Pico Silver. This is how the body works, in layers of priority.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. We can keep going, Carolyn.
Let's keep going. We're looking at, I'm not going to go over questions or comments. I'm not going to go over pros and cons of supplements. I'm going to dive right into our articles.
Okay.
Yep. And the first one is, can a common, safe, low-cost medicine boost cognition and cut mortality after traumatic brain injury? So this is Medscape. You see it there on the screen. Traumatic brain injury, TBI. Apparently, there are 6.8 million people in the U.S. living with TBI. And what they're saying with this common, safe, low-cost medicine, it's gabapentin. Gabapentin. Okay, so treatment with gabapentin following TBI may protect the brain, potentially influencing cognition and recovery trajectories, new research hints. They don't know that it will, but it may potentially help. So this is the bait, you know, this is the teaser, they put it out. And of course, you know, we say, but what can magnesium do? I've got many references in my book, The Magnesium Miracle, about how magnesium can help TBI, traumatic brain injury. Even hyperbaric oxygen with IV magnesium can help heal stroke, and that's serious brain injury. But instead of looking into the magnesium option, they're trotting out a failed neurologic drug and trying to fit it into the traumatic brain injury picture. That's my assessment. The article continues, gabapentin is already commonly used for pain and agitation in TBI. We just didn't know if it helped cognition. However, the doctor cautioned against overinterpreting the findings in clinical practice at this early stage. Well, bless his heart. But I say, of course, they're overinterpreting the findings and making it a headline on Medscape. And the findings were reported on April 19th to 2026 American Academy of Neurology meeting. And I say they admit that there are few pharmacologic options, but what about magnesium, for Pete's sakes? So they took 1,757 patients who received gabapentin after traumatic brain injury, and about 7% of the mild to severe TBI patients developed durable cognitive impairment within 2 years of brain injury. So they want to treat this 7%. And that's what they're crowing about and presenting at their precious neurology meeting. So when you look at the side effects of gabapentin, they can actually be confused with symptoms of brain injury. You've got clumsiness, unsteadiness, continuous uncontrolled back and forth and rolling eye movements. And in children, yeah, they're giving it to children. In children, there's aggressive behavior, anxiety, concentration problems, crying, depression, hyperactivity, rapidly changing moods, on and on. I mean, in general, less common side effects, black tarry stools, chest pain, chills, cough, depression, fever, loss of memory, on and on and on. So seriously, this is a drug that's supposed to be prescribed for seizures, partial seizures, they call them, the severe nerve pain from shingles and restless leg syndrome, but it's actually given off-label for any type of nerve pain. Ginny said last week that gabapentin is widely given to pets for whatever. However, we know that magnesium is very helpful for restless legs, for seizures, for the pain from shingles. For shingles, I talk about doing a clay and pico silver pack and magnesium orally. And then while researching this gabapentin business, I came across an X post. Apparently, in 1995, Pfizer wanted to use gabapentin for bipolar disorder. And so that was 1995. They started using it and they got sued in 2004 for misbranding, off-label use. And they paid a $430 million fine. The Department of Justice listed every condition they were criminally convicted of fraudulently promoting. Bipolar, ADHD, migraines, neuropathic pain, reflex sympathetic dystrophy. That was 21 years ago. Today, gabapentin, its brand name is Neurontin. It's the fifth most prescribed drug in America, and it's being prescribed for all those conditions. There's 73 million prescriptions a year. 15.5 million Americans are on it, and it's estimated that 95% of those prescriptions are off-label. And then I found another article talking about gabapentinoids, like gabapentin and pregabalin. they're associated with an increased risk for poisoning, with the highest risk occurring around treatment initiation and when combined with benzodiazepines or opioids. The article states that prescription rates for gabapentinoids have been increasing rapidly in recent years as they are seen as a safe alternative to opioids. So that's the reason it's gotten so popular. When opioids came under intense attack, they had to have an alternative. And it's quoted here, when they can be effective for pain relief and do have better perceived safety profiles than opioids. However, there are still substantial risks that clinicians and patients should be mindful of. So I say mindful of, but not to the extent of not using this poison. Then they talked about the 16,827 adults who were taking both drugs, opioids and gabapentinoids. And then they watched to see how many got poisoned. That's their form of studying. So they end up with a bold claim that our findings do not suggest that gabapentinoids are unsafe or should not be prescribed, but clinicians should be cautious when prescribing them, particularly if a patient is taking other medications. And they end with the familiar refrain that further research is warranted. So this is the state of drug prescribing in allopathic medicine today, in HMOs, in the clinics, where doctors are no longer independent practitioners. They're given a job, and their job is to see patients every 7 minutes and end the session with a prescription. So back to you, Jenny, for your commentary.
It really is incredible how many drugs we consume in this country. I mean, it's really overwhelming when you think about it, you know, mm-hmm. and also that they never come off the drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, when I remember you saying when you were in medical school that you would give a drug in an extreme case for like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and when I used to work in customer service, we'd have people saying, I've been on gabapentin for 8 years. I've been on Prilosec for 14 years. I've been on benzodiazepine for 8 years, you know, just the years. And to think you're mixing GABA and benzos is just so wrong on so many levels. I mean, can you imagine? Your brain doesn't even know what to do. Yeah. So it's just shocking. It really is.
And when there are alternatives in natural medicine, but then as you'll see in a lot of health podcasts now, they don't know about even the basics of vitamins and minerals. I don't know if it's because people are selling and promoting the various alpha lipoic acid, yeah, it can be helpful. But there's this long list on a lot of these sites. They have 100 different remedies, herbs, and not even organic herbs. But they forget the basics. And the reason is, as I say it every week, with magnesium, if you don't take our non-laxative picometer-sized stabilized magnesium ion, you're taking a compound that will cause the laxative effect at the amount you need. Your body needs 600 milligrams of a stabilized magnesium ion. If you take 600 milligrams of elemental magnesium from a magnesium compound, it's guaranteed to cause the laxative effect. So that's why so many doctors have moved away. Well, I guess magnesium's not working. Let me look at these 12 other highly priced, whatever, nutrients that I can tell people they absolutely need. So we're in a really desperate situation. And in Jeannie and I, with our company, we try to gently educate people and give them the information. All we have to do is get people on a couple of our formulas for maybe less than a month, and they say, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. We have almost an 80% return rate of people coming for our product. So if you can get your friends and relatives on a couple of our products, that's all you have to do to prime the pump and get them healthy. Right, Jeannie?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, Mary typed into the chat line and said that her mom's listening tonight. And she has, you know, congestive heart failure, but her ejection fraction is very strong, 65%. And, you know, she's saying she needs some more energy. Yeah. And so what would she do for energy? And of course, you know, it would be what you just said, get on some of the basics and start filling your body with those resources, so it has something to interact with.
Right. Yeah. Remag magnesium gives your mitochondria the magnesium it needs to create in the Krebs cycle, to create ATP, adenosine triphosphate. It comes out as MG, which is magnesium dash ATP. In the heart, there are 5,000 of these mitochondria in each heart muscle cell. And I don't know how many mitochondria are in each cell, but there's a lot going on there. And your heart needs that energy from magnesium in order to stay strong. And when we can't really diagnose disease or treat disease, but we do know that magnesium and potassium work together like, you know, good friends. They need each other for absorption and this and that. And if you're not eating enough of your vegetables to get 4,700 milligrams of potassium, it's good to have our pico potassium. And also with heart problems, you know, you're not getting enough oxygen and you think your brain is a little woozy. It's not just oxygen, it's magnesium. Each brain neuron or brain cell, they call them neurons, has, what is it, Jeannie? Is it 2 million mitochondria?
Yeah.
2 million mitochondria. The heart has 5,000, the brain, 2 million mitochondria. So if you want your brain to work and, you know, click along, you have to take enough magnesium to do the job. And like I said earlier, you don't get enough magnesium with a magnesium compound without getting the laxative effect. And in order to get enough magnesium, I took 1,200 milligrams of my Remag magnesium to get rid of my heart palpitations many years ago. But I don't need that much anymore. I only need like 450 milligrams, which is the RDA. So magnesium, potassium, they're the place to start with making your heart strong. So there.
Very, very good. Outstanding. Outstanding. And of course, we have so many people on the chat line cheering on saying, that's what happens to me. I feel so much better. And it's true. It's true for so many people. Mm-hmm. Another question that I thought was a fun question was, if I freeze Remag and Remite in liquid, will it, like maybe making like a Remag ice cube, will it affect its potency?
No, we've learned from our chemist over the years that you can put it in hot water, cold water, freeze it, cook with it, and it stays as a stabilized ion. Someone stopped me in the complex the other day, stopped the car and said, hey, I came across a bottle of Remag and I've had it for years. Is it still okay? Still okay. Forever. It's still okay.
Yeah, Very cool. Very cool. Now, sometimes the Remag doesn't freeze. So just know that you might, it might be more like slushy because it's so concentrated and they're very salty. So if you mix them with some water, I think they probably freeze, but it can be slushy. Right. Okay. Carolyn, what's next?
More articles.
Okay.
The next one. So while they've opened the floodgates on dangerous drugs, seriously, like gabapentin, because you see, they don't have anything for nerves. Nerve damage is caused by toxins, by sugars, by yeast toxins. So you cannot drug these nerves and make them better. You have to detoxify, take magnesium, et cetera, et cetera. So they're using gabapentin and have to do all this marketing about it to make people take it. And I don't know when the lawsuits are going to come with gabapentin, like they're doing with Ozempic. Just sidebar, there's up to 4,000 lawsuits now on the Ozempic trail because of all the terrible side effects. So while they've opened the floodgates on dangerous drugs like gabapentin, the FDA is trying to redefine supplements and limit your access to them. So this is our friends at the Alliance for Natural Health. And they're talking about the FDA is considering a narrow interpretation of dietary substance that could exclude many natural, traditional, and innovative ingredients from qualifying as dietary supplements. Now, I knew this was coming when I attended the Codex meetings in Europe back in 2005. I said, oh my gosh, they're after kind of higher potency dietary supplements. So that's why I've been very basic, low potency. Vitamin C is high potency, but I think we can get away with that because vitamin C is considered so innocuous. So there's this big shift to push out botanicals and Ayurvedic herbs and mushrooms and concentrated forms of naturally occurring nutrients, push out high potency vitamins and minerals, polyphenols, push out innovative ingredients, lab-produced proteins. I don't mind them not using those. Peptides are huge now, big push on peptides. I have to look into it more, but peptides can, we can pretend like, oh, they're going to go and do this, and they'll do another whole bunch of things that what do you do, the oopsie daisy process of throwing these things at the wall and see what sticks can get people into trouble. So anyway, they're trying to reorganize the whole system of dietary supplements. And apparently it began most recently in an FDA public meeting, March 27th, 2026, this year, where they had the title, Exploring the Scope of Dietary Supplement Ingredients. And they discussed these boundaries. So it's really the wild, wild west where regulators just want to regulate and probably know nothing about these supplements. And it's not that I'm concerned about our formulas. As I said, I was very focused, very careful about making them low potency, very basic, but food-based, picometer-sized stabilized ions, so well absorbed that they work. Other people who are using synthetic supplements, it doesn't work that way. And I mentioned Codex, and then I wonder what's going on with Codex in America. Are these people looking at sort of narrowing the scope and dosage of dietary supplements and increasing the toxic levels of poisons in our foods? But apparently in the U.S., the FDA is not currently trying to classify dietary supplements as drugs following the Codex Alimentarius position. That's what Canada did. They went, oh, well, we'll get ahead of Codex and we'll do it. So that's where they cut. Most companies, they just cut the whole dietary supplement industry by 75% up in Canada. But in the in America, the FDA framework is still following the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, DSHEA, of 1994. And we continue to fight it along with the Alliance of Natural Health. But do they ever want to classify dietary supplements as drugs, make us do billion-dollar testing on them, and make them very expensive and under the control of drug companies? So that's what we're up against. And we have time. We're going to do all these articles, but I'm going to go back to Ginny and see if she has any comments or if there are any comments on the board about this important imposition of the FDA on these dietary supplements.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a daily thing, No, I think you covered it beautifully. I think you said everything just perfectly.
Thank you, Ginny. Appreciate that. No. Okay. Next article then, Rachel, put her up. Colon cleanses pose risks with no proven benefit. Now, this is not nice. Everybody knows that I like my coffee enemas. And years ago, I talked about getting addicted to the caffeine in them. And then Ginny reminded me, well, you know, we tell people to use decaf coffee enemas because there's still the tannins and the different ingredients in decaf that can help your detox.
Decaf organic, Carolyn. Decaf organic, remember.
Decaf organic. Yeah. Absolutely. Customer service, they know more than I do at a certain. I've forgotten more. Okay. Here's the conclusion of this Medscape article, as if they know what they're talking about. And it's all about laxative-based detox or colon cleansing. And they're saying they lack biologic plausibility and clinical benefit while exposing individuals to measurable risk for electrolyte imbalance, kidney injury, and cardiovascular complications, highlighting the need for clinicians to redirect patients toward evidence-based strategies. Now, what's that? It's to give them high-dose magnesium and cause, you know, huge electrolyte imbalances by forcing a laxative effect. So basically, I say there's no evidence-based detox strategies in medicine. Detox in medicine means drug detox in treatment facilities. That's how far they go. So the article goes on talking about wellness trends promoting bowel cleansing continuing to gain traction despite the absence of evidence. Well, the evidence is in how people feel after they do these things. And they're not going to do, I don't know, I guess they're not going to do a study on this to say, well, here's the clinical research evidence. And they just say available data, of which there's none, consistently shows no benefits for otherwise healthy individuals. Well, you know, may not be healthy individuals who want to detox. So enough of that. I agree, you don't need to do colon flushing, liver cleanses, and purges. I say the best form of detox is to give the body the nutrients that support natural body detox. So that's magnesium, which is our REMAG, the B vitamins with methionine and taurine in our Realign. Those are sulfur-based amino acids that help the sulfation detox pathways in the liver. Four of the B vitamins are methylated, and that's your methyl detox pathways. It's all there. Remite with 12 trace minerals many of which play a role in detoxification. Picoselenite, which is our selenium, is essential for the production of glutathione. It's also can bind to mercury, forming a less toxic complex that's easier for the body to excrete. So if you're dealing with mercury fillings, you're getting them out, picoselenite can help bind that mercury. And the glutathione promotes methylation of inorganic arsenic into less harmful forms, aiding its excretion. So yeah, detox is important. The body knows how to do it, and we just give it its building blocks. I'll go right to the next article. It's called Waste Not, Want Not. Scientists turn plastic into levodopa for Parkinson's disease. Seriously. Just read that title a few times. So, in a scientific first, researchers have turned plastic waste into a mainstay treatment for Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease, it's a toxicity. It's a buildup of toxins and maybe the arsenic and mercury that we mentioned. Do people who, I won't go there because we could get blocked. In a proof of concept study, researchers used engineered bacteria to convert polyethylene terephthalate, a widely used plastic found in bottles and food packaging, into L-DOPA. Although still in the early stages, the process could hold promise for drug development and reframes plastic pollution as a potential pharmaceutical feedstock. Aye, aye. And then they go on. I mean, I won't read it all, but they, L-DOPA is currently produced at a global scale of 250 tons a year, primarily through chemical or chemoenzymatic synthesis. And it depends on petrochemical feedstocks. They make these drugs out of coal tar. Demand for the drug is projected to rise as Parkinson's disease prevalence increases with an aging population. One study estimating that the number of people living with the disease worldwide will more than double by 2050, reaching 25 million. And they end with plastic waste is often seen as an environmental problem, but it also represents a vast untapped source of carbon. By engineering biology to transform plastic into an essential medicine, we show how waste materials can be reimagined as valuable resources that support human health. Again, seriously, question mark. They seriously believe in their delusion. So I have to go to Ginny to see her face after that whole delusional whatever.
I would cross my eyes or something, but you know, my grandma warned me against doing that when I was young. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, everybody's obsessed about microplastics in foods and all the rest of this. And on the other hand, trying to turn it into a drug for toxicity, which Parkinson's is toxicity. It's mold and heavy metals and that kind of thing. I mean, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And they think they're so clever, like you say. And people unwittingly will take it and they won't know. Yeah. You know, they won't know.
And it's proof of concept and this and that. And it may never even, you know, happen. But this is what their $1 billion of research and development is going toward, to try to make drugs out of plastic. And they think they're heroes. It's crazy.
But they're making meat out of plastic, right? Whatever they're doing with that weird meat and all these weird, you know, vegan foods to try to, you know, whatever that is. I mean, they're doing the weirdest stuff. And people are gobbling it up.
Yeah, aren't they using 3D printers to make food foodstuffs? Oh, Yeah. 3D printed food. Seriously. Yeah. This is why I'm heavily promoting a farm here. I don't want to be eating insects or plastic or what kind of meat are they making? Yeah. So here is the Pear Genius Foundation. Thank you, Rachel. Very sweet. Go there. Go to PearGeniusFoundation.org and see what we're doing. We're trying to save Maui. We're trying to save one whatever geographic location at a time. There's so few organic farmers that are even viable. They aren't getting the support that they need. Anyway, if you want to support what we're doing with Pear Genius Foundation, go and comment, leave message, leave a donation. We truly appreciate it. There'll be a time when we get over the floods that really devastated us, where we'll have our freeze drying and dehydration warehouse up, and we'll be able to sell freeze dried organic, freeze dried and dehydrated food onto mainland. So that's going to be exciting. Okay, any questions before I hop into the next article?
I think we're good. I think we're all skedaddling along. Yeah.
Okay, where's my, I didn't mean to say take that back. So the next article is the cholesterol data that didn't fit the narrative. And I don't know where, is this my buddy? Is this my buddy Nick? Let me just click on. Yeah, there he is. What have I told you? He starts. So this is my buddy Nick Norwich, and he's PhD MD, and he's made his whole life now podcasting. The cholesterol data that didn't fit the narrative. So the teaser of that. That title is that there's a drug that increases LDL cholesterol, but it saves lives. So this is a guy, Nick, who has a cholesterol, he says, in 500, 600, and a very high LDL that get higher when he did intermittent fasting, I think, and keto diet. So he's been studying himself, but now he's saying, there's a new cholesterol drug that's on the market because statins don't work. Right. It's called an SGLT2 inhibitor that blocks the sodium glucose transporter in the kidneys, which means glucose is reabsorbed back into the blood. When inhibited, this glucose is excreted through the kidney. So anyway, it's a drug used for diabetes, but then they found out it affects heart disease. And a 3-year study produced a 38% relative reduction of heart deaths, but increases your LDL. Now, I've talked about relative risk and absolute risk. The absolute risk is usually 1/10 of relative risk. So we're talking about a 3.8 reduction of heart death. So anyway, this paper was referenced 15,000 times. So they're desperate for this SGLT2 inhibitor to work. They've given it to poor little mice, improving their insulin sensitivity, clearing out to clear out dead cells. By clearing them out and not letting them just hang around, that improves health span and lifespan. So how do these SGLT drugs accomplish this, clearing out dead cells? They activate an enzyme called AMPK that targets and eliminates dead cells. And as so often happens with the nutrition research tunnel vision, because they can't get drugs to work on most of these enzyme systems, and they know nothing about nutrients, they start talking about lifestyle changes like fasting and exercise to promote AMPK. And so there's these new drugs, they're being used on mice, so they haven't gotten near humans yet for what Nick needs them for, to help with heart disease. And so he's talking about lifestyle. And what do? I say, oh, is there an association of magnesium and AMPK per chance? Oh yeah, there is. Magnesium ions, which is what REMAG offers, promotes osteogenic differentiation of bone marrow stem cells. The ATP-related AMPK mTOR signaling pathway. I've talked about mTOR before. Magnesium works with mTOR. This pathway plays a vital role in the autophagy process associated with this bone marrow differentiation. ATP is really MGATP, and magnesium ions have been shown to benefit cell adhesion, spreading, and viability, and to upregulate AMPK levels. This indicates the importance of the ATP-related AMPK mTOR signaling pathway in the autophagy process. Boom. Ginny, boom. What do you think of that? Everything they throw at me, I can come back with magnesium. So
yes, and I was just sitting here thinking, I don't know if any of us will ever die. I mean, just the concentration of REMAG. I mean, yes, it's a stabilized ion, but even more than that, it's 60,000 parts per million of, you know, concentration. I mean, this is like, bam. And it's going in and working in these very important processes. And we've talked a lot about enzyme activation. That is zeta potential. That is on our website, rnareset.com. You can learn about zeta potential, but our minerals activate all enzymes, all the minerals do. So you're just walking around in a huge internal cloud of enzyme activation and all these critical things that they've made. I mean, they've made mTOR and AMPK supplements, as Carolyn was talking about earlier, which you don't need when you just rely on doing what we say. Take half of your body weight in ounces of water, throw your minerals in it, sip it throughout the day, keep a constant fountain of this kind of mineral activation in your body. What's going to get you, people? There's nothing's going to get you. You know, you're going to just be set and secure in your physical body because of the way everything's being activated and all of these assets are being employed for your benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're at the, on the cutting edge of this, and you know, you can get hurt on the cutting edge, but we're doing our best. And because most biohackers and doctors, they're just looking for clickbait. I mean, they're constantly putting out these titles just to grab your attention, and then they don't give even a quarter of what we're able to give you, because I've been at this for 50 years. I've attended meetings in Europe, like I said, with Codex Alimentarius that tries to squash us. I incorporate all that information. And then I see that because people can't work with laxative producing magnesium, they have ignored it to their peril.
Yeah.
And they're not using they don't even know about ionized magnesium blood testing. I'm listening to these podcasts all the time. They don't know that 600 to 800 enzyme processes require magnesium. They don't know that 80% of the known metabolic functions in the body require magnesium, and they certainly don't know about REMAG and how it's a stabilized magnesium ion that you can just kind of drown yourself in and not have the laxative effect. Don't quote me on that, but we've got the answer, and we appreciate questions. We appreciate people saying, well, so-and-so said this, you know, what do you say? And I'll tell you, yeah, I've been through it all. And where do we go from here? Well, you critically look at what's being said, or don't even bother looking anymore. Just go enjoy yourself and take your formulas. Enjoy yourself, or work harder at what you're working at, and enjoy that. And just know that we've got you covered.
Absolutely. Are you all caught up? Do we have one more article?
One more, and it is a quickie. It's called When Psoriasis Treatments Lose Their Punch. Mm. And this is where they're at with so many of their drugs. They've come to the end of the patent, or they finally realize that they're not working. And this article, I guess it's another Medscape, yeah. Most people with psoriasis have relatively mild disease and a limited amount of disease that would be amenable to topical treatments. But topical treatments can be very potent. Treating can be frustrating. Even when topical treatments work, they may gradually stop working. They just go on and on about, oh, they're not working anymore because they just don't work. And the article went on, and the author, I guess, forgot what he said originally. He said, the more you use the medicine, the less it works. Because he ended the article by saying, we need to work extra hard if we want our patients to get well and stay well, to get them to use their medication. What a bunch of clowns. So what do I know about psoriasis? Zymogen, Zymogen, is a yeast detox waste product, And it stimulates psoriasis symptoms. And what we found through customer service with our yeast detox people is they can start getting rashes anywhere, scalp itchiness, the itchiness in their ears. They can get body rashes, you know, under the breasts. Yeast itself will grow. So we tell people who come to us and say, well, I think I've got psoriasis, to go on a yeast detox. And that very often helps. So they're looking for new drugs to suppress this psoriasis without knowing it could be a yeast detox. And also, I looked up my total biology notes, the conflict basis of disease, and a couple of statements stood out. A person with psoriasis wants to shed their skin because they feel stuck and they want to move forward. You shed your skin, you move forward. Or it can be a conflict of separation where you grow out your skin to try to maintain contact with someone who has gone absent. That sounds a little esoteric or whatever, but oftentimes those words can trigger someone. A person can relate to the words in total biology. So that's it, Ginny. That's all I have for you. And next week, I will get rid of this little hair clump and stop messing with it. Every week, it's something. It's something. I should have a pair of scissors right. Anyway, go ahead, Ginny. What do you got for me?
Well, I do want to say, I think that was an absolutely impressive body of information, Carolyn. I mean, it's just so amazing how it rolls off your tongue And it's so natural for you to understand all these things and to present them to our audience. And it is a good debriefing and a debunking of what people are up against, and also an encouraging that if you are using our formulas, if you're using one, use two, if you're using all, use more, you know, whatever, but just know that you're definitely being protected in a very unique and extraordinary way. drcarolindean.com is Dr. Dean's website. You can go there, you can visit, you can learn more about her work. You can read, you can listen to her interviews, including her most recent podcast with Michael Sandler, which is very good, and you'll enjoy that thoroughly. RNAreset.com, and I'm sure you've all checked out our new website, and the product images and the bottles are beautiful, and the website is stunning, and there's so many resources there for you. Be sure to look at the blog. Be sure to look at all the information there for you. That's where all Dr. Dean's formulas are curated. PicoPets.com, of course, is where we've packaged and put our human formulas together for your pets so that you can use them with confidence and also legally. And then, of course, we still want you to consider keeping track of what you're using on SUPCO and building, helping us build that community there. So thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Paragenius Foundation, Carolyn talked about it a little bit. It's her heart. It's her love, her second love, her first love, of course, Remag, but her second love, definitely over there in Maui. I've seen it all. It's amazing. Please, for sure, subscribe and continue to learn and think about how it might impact your community to have something similar. All right, everybody. Thank you again for being with us. And we will next week.
Jenny, do we have a sale on? Do we have a sale on?
We do. It's the last few hours. Semi-annual sale. Got to get there. Got to get there.
Thanks, Jenny.
Bye.
Awesome.
Bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future. Become a member of drcarolindean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.